Camping is a great experience, and so thank you, Dan, for that presentation. And if you have questions, he's got answers. Plus, there's table back out here with brochures from a couple of camps. It is there for you. Quickly, I want to refer to our bulletins. I want to mention to you a couple of things, just a couple of updates, especially those in the care facilities. You know this has been a hard year, and I want to mention to you that I got a call from Connie Denny's family yesterday. They asked specifically for prayer for Connie after being in the care center now locked down for 12 months. Connie is basically, she's not doing well. We'll leave it at that. She's not doing well at all. And so wanted to mention that. Leslie Wise fell this week and broke his wrist and hand. Don Korak and others are on quarantine again. So remember those folks in the care centers, please. On the other side of the prayer list there, wanted to mention to you, Kevin Flansburg is back in the hospital. Please remember all of those people. Kevin is hospitalized again. And I want to say this also, when you look at Janet Moon, Janet's here with us this morning, you see PTL, that means praise the Lord. The doctors have told Janet at this point she is cancer-free. And so praise God for that. And so please remember to look at those names often and lift them up to prayer. Let's pray now. Wonderful, merciful Savior, we praise you this morning. We love you. We've come together to worship you. We've lifted our voice in song and adoration of praise to you, O God, because you are worthy. You are worthy of our praise, and we have come to do that. Thank you for this Palm Sunday. Thank you for everyone that is seated here this morning, those listening by Facebook Live, perhaps listening through the FM station outside. Thank you, Father, for churches that are gathering and people that will come together, not only here, but all over this region and America and the world today and this season to celebrate you. Father, we would pray by your Spirit, do a work, a mighty work, a powerful work, a transforming work. Do a work in us, O God, draw us near. This Easter season is a special time. It's a holy time. And I pray, Father, for people that are wondering and wandering, that they might have eyes today, this week, that see you in a different way, ears that hear from your Spirit clearly. Father, rescue souls, save souls, transform lives today and this week, in this place and beyond, we pray in the name of Jesus. And Father, we do give you praise for working in our broken bodies. We give you praise this morning for this message that Janet got. And we pray for all the rest of these hurting brothers and sisters, friends and family. We lift them up to you, Father, and ask that you would be with each and every one. We ask that your will would be done in each and every circumstance. Thank you again for the word. Your word is truth. As we look at that now for a while this morning, Father, I pray your Spirit would lead us. Your Spirit would do a work in our hearts, and we would hear with ears that hear what the Spirit has to say to us. Guide us, we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as Pastor Charles has said, and our children have demonstrated, today is Palm Sunday, that day that we celebrate that triumphal entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. In Matthew's account, that's in Matthew 21, I'm not going to read too much of the account, but I'm going to read some of the after the entrance this morning. But in Matthew's account, in chapter 21, we're reminded of that blessed events. We're also reminded in the fifth verse of that chapter. This is a prophesied event, okay? The Old Testament writers had said this is going to happen. And so this just happened. It just unfolded before them that morning, that day in Jerusalem. And rather than spending a lot of time reading over that account in Matthew 21 or the other places in the other Gospels, I want to focus on a little bit of what Jesus said after the triumphal entry. Matthew records how the children praised him, and it's so good to see our children up here waving the palm branches, probably like children did so long ago. And Matthew records other things in 21 and 22. There's some parables, and he takes his last few days as a teaching opportunity for those listeners there in Jerusalem. And so I want to go beyond all of that, okay? He's entered into Jerusalem, and we got the triumphal entry in Matthew 21. And he's teaching for a couple, 3 days there in 21 and 22. And in 23, we get to that chapter that we call the Ten Woes. This is where Jesus is addressing the scribes and Pharisees. It's kind of like, okay, I've been here for 3 years. I've been doing miracles. I've been telling you for 3 years who I am. And most, by and large, are not getting it. And even worse than that, the scribes and Pharisees are so adamantly opposed to him, they want him dead. And so we get to that chapter 23 of Matthew, and you can read that. I'm not going to read but one little paragraph at the end. You can read how Jesus addresses the religious leaders and their stubborn, unwilling hearts to recognize him as Messiah. You can read all about that. It's in chapter 23. I'm going to give us one little phrase out of there to give us kind of a flavor and then move into what I want to emphasize today. I'm in Matthew 23, picking it up at verse 27 if you got your Bible. Matthew 23, 27. This is between the time of the triumphal entry and the crucifixion. He's taking the opportunity to teach. And have a word before it's crucifixion day. Matthew 23, 27. Here's well on in the conversation with the scribes and Pharisees. He says this: "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." This is just one of the woes that Jesus is addressing with the scribes and Pharisees, but it gives you a little picture. He's telling them, you're not fooling God. Okay, you look all that religious on the outside. You look like the cup that has been cleaned on the outside. You look like the whitewashed tomb that's been cleaned on the outside. But your hearts are still far from me, he's telling the religious leaders. You see, friends, Jesus had made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, but he had not made any triumphal entry into these people's hearts. And I want us to think about that as we press through these verses. He had made his grand entrance. He had made, we call it the triumphal entry into the city, but not into their hearts. Listen to what he said in verse 33. "Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell?" Why? Because they hadn't accepted him as Lord. They haven't surrendered to him as the Messiah. And so he says to them, therefore, 34, "Indeed, I send you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify. Some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city." All of that is going to be lived out. It's been being lived out in the past, and it's going to be lived out in the future. All these things that he's saying. And then he says that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered. The Jews murdered back in 2 Chronicles 24:21, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Assuredly, I say to you, Jesus is still speaking to the religious leaders, all of these things will come upon this generation. Why? Because they missed the Messiah. I read this, and then I get to the next verse, and this is the heart of God. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jesus said. The one, the city, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. Here's his heart. How often I have wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. Just a day or two prior to this, there were thousands cheering hosannas, waving the palm branches. You can read the accounts, laying their coats down, laying branches down, welcoming into Jerusalem in this thing we call the triumphal entry. Just a matter of a day or two prior, Matthew writes in verse 10 of 21, when he entered into Jerusalem, the whole city was shaken. And they were saying, who is this? And the crowds kept saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. And only a few days later, the masses would be crying out, crucify him in Jerusalem. Here's my point today, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors. He had spent 3 years, 3 years doing ministry amongst them, performing miracles that would just blow your mind. They had never seen such miracles. You just think of the things he did, feeding the 5,000 with 7 and 2, feeding 4,000, healing paraplegics, giving sight to the blind, people that were born blind, forgiving sins, raising the dead to life. For 3 years he had done these things. And when you read through the Gospels, you will find in that place, I believe it's in John, that he said to them, if you do not believe me for what I have said, then believe me for what I have done. 3 years. He did these things, these miraculous signs. And for 3 years, Jesus had been dropping hints as to who he was. Remember last week? Who remembers last week? Somebody's got to remember. Nobody. Oh, mercy, you're killing me here. Nobody remembers what we talked about last week. Oh, you're killing me. Remember when he said in John, before Abraham was, I am. He'd been dropping these kind of hints for 3 years. And then we get to this. I can't imagine the broken heart of God. It breaks mine to even read this. The Son of God, who had been here for 3 years, he marches into Jerusalem triumphantly. He teaches for 2 or 3 days. He knows the cross is in view. And this is his heart. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. You're the one. You're the people of God. You are the descendants of Abraham. And you are the one who have killed the prophets. You have stoned those who are sent to her. Oh, how I have longed to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks. But you're not willing. Does that not break your hearts? It had to have broken the heart of God. As I was reading this the last week or two, I wondered if when I was growing up, I have two siblings here. Gene and Susie are both right below me. And when we were growing up, we had chickens on the farm. And in the springtime, those chickens would just kind of disappear. You still with me? And we would wonder where those chickens went. And about 28 days later, it would take 28 days to hatch the eggs. All of a sudden, this chicken would reappear. Maybe a hen, maybe two, maybe three, however many of them disappeared. And after 28 days or so, they would reappear. And in tow, right behind them would be 6 or 8 or 10 or 12 little tiny chicks. You get the flavor? These were banties, bantams, officially. Bantam egg is about half the size of the eggs you buy in the grocery store. So when these little bantams come out of the brush in tow behind their mother, they're not very big. And they're vulnerable. They're very vulnerable. And that chicken would lead them little chicks around the barnyard, and she'd scratch here and she'd scratch there, and the little ones would dive in finding something. And all of a sudden, if you watch this chicken, this hen, she would cock her head sideways. Their eyes are on the side, so they can't look up like this. She would hear a screech of a hawk, and she would cock her head like this. She knew of impending danger, or if it was raining, she knew she had to protect them chicks. Or if she didn't happen to like the dog or something, she would make these clucks. She would cock her head. She might sense a hawk, or she would sense the dog, or it would begin to rain. And she would make these clucks, and her wings would go out, and she would squat down. And within 2 or 3 clucks, the little chicks would be dashing underneath of her wings. You're starting to get the picture? Jesus said, I have longed to gather you, children of Jerusalem, as a hen gathers her chicks. I have longed to give you protection, to offer you salvation. I have longed to keep an eye out for the evil one and danger, and I have given you the warning signs for 3 years as the hen clucks and the little ones go dashing under her. Her wings are out and they go dashing under, and she sits down on them chicks and they're protected. He said, I have longed like that hen to protect you that way. And what is the response? You are not willing. That's a tragedy. That's an eternal tragedy. We shout Hosanna one day and we shout Crucify Him the next. You say, Jim, I wouldn't do that. Our words and our actions speak louder. We shout Hosanna one day, and 4 days later we shout Crucify Him. Jesus came to testify the truth, to teach us to love, to die for the sins of humanity, all of the human race. He came to die for our sin. He's like that hen he describes, Who better than the creator of the chicken to know how the chicken acts? You with me yet? I've longed, he said, to gather you in. I've longed to protect you. Jesus is saying, like that hen wanting to protect her chicks, I've given you the warnings. I've taught you, I've instructed you. I've told you who I am. But most are not willing. In 2 Peter 3:9, Peter writes, sometime after he had witnessed all of this, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is the heart of God. That is the heart of Jesus when he looked into Jerusalem that day and he saw the multitudes of descendants of Abraham. He saw the religious leaders. He spoke to them. He taught them. And yes, in this chapter 23, he condemns them for their hard-heartedness. Why? Because he said, for 3 years I have been among you, longing to gather you in, and you are not willing. And I wonder, as I look around, are we any different today? You say, Jim, what do you mean? I believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus. Are you willing to claim him as Lord? Are you willing to surrender everything for him? Are you willing to follow? You see, friends, God has loved us to the point of Jesus dying on that cross for us. Jesus has been obedient unto death on the cross. We have an obligation to choose. I'm not talking about salvation by works. We have an obligation to hear what he has said. We have the Word of God. We have no excuse. We have the Word of God. We have no excuse to be like that crowd that Jesus quantifies as, you're not willing to be gathered under my wings. We have no excuse. When Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again, and he said a multitude of other times in the Gospels, come, follow me. We have no excuse to be like the wayward he's addressing in Matthew 23 and says to them, but you weren't willing. Jesus sends out the invitation to come be his followers. And so oftentimes the response is the same, but you were not willing. And we might say, Jim, not willing for what? Not willing to do what? Not willing to surrender. Not willing to deny ourselves and follow. Not willing to receive him by faith. Not willing to to say, I'm going to follow Jesus no matter what. You see, we could say today in Christian America, well, I was born in a Christian home. Well, I went to church some. They could have said the same thing. Well, I'm a descendant of Abraham. That's the argument we looked at last week. They could have said the same thing. Well, I'm already a Jew. And Jesus said, but you weren't willing to come to me. You weren't willing to follow me. You wanted your own agenda. You wanted to do your own thing. You weren't willing to follow me. I simply urge us today, friends, do not be like the ones Jesus is talking to here in Matthew 23 when he says, but you weren't willing. You weren't willing to follow. Jesus is longing today in 21st century America and around the globe. Jesus is longing today to gather people unto himself. By faith, surrender completely to him. Jew and Gentile, churched and unchurched, old and young, black and white, rich and poor, Jesus is longing to gather us, as he described to the people of Jerusalem that day. He's still longing to gather us under his wings. And yet multitudes will be in the category, but you're not willing to gather under his wings. As we prepare to sing this last song, I'm going to have the praise team come and lead us in this last song. Friends, I'm simply asking us, have we surrendered to the point of following Jesus? Have we given our life completely to him? Is he Lord? And I will say this, as I said of the scribes and Pharisees on that day, Jesus has in fact made a triumphal entrance into Jerusalem. Has he made that same entrance into your life, into your heart? And if you're not sure, then I would encourage you to surrender today. I would encourage you to surrender completely to the Lordship of Jesus today. Let him come into your life completely, triumphantly. Let him be Lord. If you're not even sure how to do that, then Charles and I will pray with you. If you want to come to the altar and be prayed over, you want to come to the altar and kneel and pray, that's fine. You want Charles or I to pray over you for something else, we'll do that while we're singing this last song. But do not be in the category that he is addressing here. When he's longing to gather you to himself, do not be in that category that says, but you weren't willing.
Loving and gracious Father, as we leave this place and enter our mission field, give us new eyes to look upon this world and the condition that we find it. May it be a report card on how well we have done. May we look upon this world and realize, as a report card, Father, we have failed you in so many ways. In repentance, help us to return to you, to the true mission in which you have called us. Help us, Father, to not abuse our free will, but to be free, to do your will, to send the gospel, to live the gospel, to be the hands and feet of your Son, Jesus, to this world that is desperately seeking answers and a hope and a direction. We have their answer. Help us to speak boldly in love. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.